Some people envision a world where disabilities never bring any shame. For commentator Michael Berube, that time seems ever closer.
My son Jamie is now in third grade. He's the first child with Down syndrome to attend Westview School in Champaign, Illinois. He has many friends among his classmates and teachers, although each fall takes a month or so for them to get used to his idiosyncrasies, including his general stubbornness, his surprising skill at basketball, his speech impediments, his knowledge of animals, his offbeat and slapstick sense of humor, and his immature handwriting. Jamie, for his part, loves going to school. He remembers the name of every child in every class picture he's been in since kindergarten. I take Jamie to school each morning, and even on days when he fusses about his clothing or refuses to brush his teeth, it's both a thrill and a solace to watch him greet his friends and teachers and be gradually incorporated into one of my nation's public schools, one of the very few institutions in Jamie's world whose explicit task it is to enhance his capacity to live as a citizen of these United States. But every year there is a day when I dread bringing Jamie to school. It's the day of the holiday concert. Whereas Jamie's a pure ham at home and enjoys all kinds of music, on stage he invariably clams up, coming in two beats late on every bit of pantomime, barely moving his lips to the words. And why do I care? As long as Jamie is learning how to carry the one when he adds 49 and 23, does it really matter how he looks during the holiday concert? Well, yes, it does, because it matters how other parents and grandparents perceive him. And for most of them, this moment is their only impression of Jamie. It's easy for me to list all the things Jamie's learned because he's been the beneficiary of inclusive public education. But perhaps it's more important to tell other parents how much their own children might learn if they were in a classroom with Jamie. Jamie's presence in school isn't just feel-good social policy. He isn't just mouthing the words. He's teaching his peers what it is like to live among people with widely diverse abilities and disabilities. After a playdate, I was driving Jamie's friend Shelby home. I told her about two kids Jamie and I had recently met on the playground. They didn't know that Jamie has Down syndrome, but they knew he was different in some way. "He can't hear," said one child. "No," said the other. "He can hear, but he can't talk." I told Shelby that I'd explained to those kids that Jamie can talk, and hear, and read, too. But Shelby was horrified that other children would think such things of her friend. "I only know a little about Down syndrome," said Shelby, "but I know there's no one like Jamie." If that's what Jamie's classmates are learning, I can sit through any number of his holiday concerts. Just so long as they tell their parents and grandparents that Jamie talks, sings, and reads, does math in his head, cracks jokes, offers comfort, and makes friends. Just so long as everyone knows that there's no one else like Jamie.
Michael Berube teaches American literature at the University of Illinois. He's the author of Life as We Know It, A Family, A Father, and An Exceptional Child.